Have you ever done something, done the right thing for the wrong reason? Oh, we all apparently better than I am. Okay. Well, I remember one time growing up, all my friends got allowances, but I never got an allowance. And never really understood why, but I remember this one time, my mom was, she was always really kind. Like, if we had the ability to buy something, she'd usually let me get something. And if we didn't, she would just say, we don't have the ability to get it. But I remember this one time, when Pokemon was really big, I was probably around 10, and I really wanted this Pokemon game. I don't know, gold, green, blue, I don't know, they were all a bunch of different colors. And I really wanted this game, and my mom asked me, she said, do you have money? And at 10 years old, if it wasn't Christmas or birthday, I didn't have money. So I said, no. She said, well, maybe you could work for it. And I don't know why this triggered in my head, but I was like, my friends get allowances to clean the room and do chores around the house. I'll do that. So I go home, and I start cleaning up things, cleaning my room, which meant I probably pushed everything in either my closet or underneath my bed. That's not advice for you children. That's a disclaimer. You should not do that. You're welcome. I did the dishes, I swept, I did a lot of stuff like that, and then I said, Mom, look at all the good things I did. I worked really hard. Can I have some money? And she looked at me and said, you clean the house that you live in. Why would I give you money? Like, you live in this house. The mess that you just cleaned up was your mess. Thank you, though. Thank you. That was really nice. And she just walked away. And I just remember that where it was the right thing to do, which was clean the house, to clean up my own messes. Even at 10 years old, like, I was responsible enough to realize, like, I dirty the dishes, I can clean my dish. But it was for the wrong reason. And there's many times in life we love doing the right thing, but with the wrong motives. And motives really matter. Because, again, as most 10-year-olds, I just threw everything in a place where it couldn't be seen because I just wanted the end result. My desire was not to be helpful, but to receive something that I didn't actually deserve. So our motives matter, and we're going to talk about that because as we've been doing our red letter challenge, the motives behind what we do is an important aspect of why we do this thing. And so we've kind of gone through these five things, and the kids just didn't form. What are the five things that we're going through in the red letter challenge? Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. So we've done the being and the forgiving. I don't know what just clicked, but that wasn't me. That scared me. Good night. We've done the being. The being, just to reiterate, is being is being with God, to sit and to just be. As in our 21st century culture, we have screens, we have this, we have that. Our key phrase is time is money. We go, and we go, and we never actually sit and listen. And typically, if we ever just sit still, it's so we can learn something else. Lots of times, as soon as, like, man, I'm tired. I'm just going to sit here and rest for a moment. I usually pull up my phone to watch a woodworking video so I can go do something else, which is restful, but I'm really just spending more and more energy. I don't just sit and listen and just wait and rest. And our goal that week was just to sit and to be with God, to be able to hear. And one of my favorite challenges, and I actually found it difficult, was just to sit. Just to sit in silence and listen. And spend time in prayer. And if you're anything like me, you go, dear Lord, squirrel. And you start just going off, and you're like, man, God, I'm really going through this thing over here, and I wonder if I turned off that oven earlier. Right? And we start thinking about the other thing. And so it was a learning habit of being able to focus more than 3 seconds. And again, what's funny, and I always think about this when I think I have a hard time sitting for 3 seconds, when the Lord says, be quiet, be still, wait and listen, for I'm coming quickly. His quickly is usually about 60 years. And my quickly is maybe 60 seconds if I'm lucky. Okay? So it's been that big change, this being and the forgiving aspect. And I appreciate Pastor Zaleem's transparency, don't y'all? Having to work through that, what a blessing that is. But for most of us, we're not that transparent nor willing to take that step of forgiveness. And so I hope you went through those challenges, which ended yesterday, of the forgiving challenges, really working on forgiveness, both of others and of our own selves. Because that's part of the forgiveness, so that we can walk in the forgiveness and give the forgiveness that we have been given by God. That was a lot of giving. Hope you were able to follow that one. And this week, we're going to talk about serving. What does it mean to serve? What does it look like to serve? Why do we even serve? What is the purpose of it. And I have to tell you, most people get excited to serve, and I love this. I always think about this, and this could just be me again, but I know most of you, so it's some of you. But every time we do Connect Serves, because I'm going to hit home for everybody real quick, everyone's like, yes, I'm so excited to go serve. And then Sunday morning comes, and it's 8 o'clock, and it's like, I could sleep in. Right? If you're honest, we all think about it. I think about it. Don't lie. It's okay. And you think about it, like, I could do this. I could just sleep in. And what's funny is a couple weeks ago, we had D Now, and I asked the kids, I said, man, what do y'all want to go do? Like, we either go do something fun, we go serve, we just come back and chill. And like, we want to go serve in Mission Arlington. And I was like, sweet, let's go do it. It's a smaller group. It's a little bit easier to kind of maneuver some stuff. That's awesome. And that Friday, it was like 70 degrees. I was like, this is going to be the best. And the next day, it was 30 degrees. That did not excite me. And I was like, we're going to go. You know, we're going to be inside anyway. It's going to be fine. We're going to be inside, and we get out there. And it starts to snow. And now, granted, like, you know, it's Texas snow. So it's like a little white dot that kind of floats to the ground, and the world's ending. So it really wasn't that bad. But I was like, okay, so we're going to be inside. Surely we're going to be inside. And they're like, no, we need y'all to go deliver stuff outside. It's going to take a while. And all I wanted to do was like, man, I don't want to serve no more. I want to go inside. It's freaking cold. Like, what in the world are we doing? But you know what? Everyone else was excited. Like, the students loved it. So it was really this, and I was already thinking about this. So it was that quick aspect and quick change of, like, the right heart to serve, where you see the excitement regardless of the issue. And then me, who was like, I want to serve as long as I'm warm and comfortable and it makes me happy and I have enough energy. And we serve when it's convenient and not when it's inconvenient. And again, this is me being transparent with you as the pastor, right? I was supposed to lead these kids, and they're supposed to be the miserable ones, and they were leading me because I was the miserable one. They were like, it doesn't matter if we have a jacket or not. Let's go. They were pumped. These kids were smiling ear to ear. They were having a good time. We did one round, and like, hey, if y'all have time, come back. And I was like, no, we ain't going back. It's like, we got to go back and do another round. And I was like, okay, we'll go back in the snow. It's fine. But we think, oh, man, I'm a Christian. This is going to become a natural thing. But it is a learning experience. Just as we have to learn to be and sit and be quiet with the Lord and to hear from him and learn how to forgive and understand our forgiveness, we also have to learn how to serve and learn to serve with a joyful heart. So I have two big thoughts for us today, and that's it. So hopefully it'll go quick so I can go back to crying. So big two things, right? So we serve because Jesus served. And the second is we have greater fulfillment in contribution than in consumption. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read four verses, 24 through 28. And I really want to focus on this. We serve because Jesus served us. And I love this aspect of it. And really, this is it. Like, if you take nothing away out of today, take this away. Because it's important for us to realize that when Jesus, God, our creator, the one who loves us, the one who's perfect, did not come down to punish, but to serve his creation and to make it better. God loved you and I enough to come serve us. That should be hard for us to wrap our minds around. That should change how we see doing things and helping others and getting out of our own comfort zone, that God, the creator himself, who is perfect, came down to serve people who hated him and who had no respect for him. And I know some of you are parents, and you probably look back going like, why are my kids not happy that I do nice things for them? And then you look at your kids and go, I remember when I also was like that. Because I think about that now, when it's like, I did something nice for you. And they're like, I don't care. I'm like, come on, man. Don't be that kind of a teenager. And in 10 years, they're looking back and be like, remember that nice thing you did? I really appreciate that. And you're like, yeah, it's just this vicious cycle over and over again. But the Lord, even in those moments when I'm coming to serve you. So in Matthew chapter 20, you see John and James, their mother comes to Jesus and says, hey, can my son sit at the right hand at your throne? And they're off in the corner as, you know, they're probably late teens, early 20s, and they're back there arguing about who's better. I'm better. You're better. It doesn't sound anything like churches today, who's better than the other people because they do X, Y, Z. But they're back there arguing, saying, I'm better because I do this, and I'm better I do this. Well, I healed this person. Well, I served this person. And they're playing the comparison game to see who is better. And Jesus says this in verse 24. It says, when the 10 heard it, that that the two brothers were indignant. But Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Son of Man, God himself, came not to be served, but to serve, and to pay the ransom for many, to give his life. There are many people in this church who serve, and I'm not trying to attack anybody. I do want to clarify that, because there was one sermon, someone was like, "You're talking right to me." And when I preach, I have nobody in thought besides myself. Okay, you can ask Pastor Aleem. Most of the stuff where if we talk about an issue, it's mostly what we're dealing with in our own personal life. Okay, that's just the reality. So if you feel like I'm talking to you, that's between you and the Lord, not me to you. Okay, just to clarify, so don't come attack me later. Okay. And there's so many people, and I really thought, I was like, man, I'm going to appreciate all the people who serve here. That's going to take me way too long. And let me just tell you, most pastors can't say that. So hear me say this, Connect Church, I appreciate you for serving. I appreciate you that when we ask, you just step up. Miss Tanya came into the hub this morning and said, "I need a couple people to just come fill up the seats with cards." Literally everyone got up and was ready to go. And she had to tell people, I only need 3 of you. Go sit down out of the 15 people that got up. Most places don't have that luxury. So thank you. Thank you. But I also want us to understand that many places, and you may be one of these people, many people struggle with this. They think of church for them and not for God. They think, how does the church serve me? And so let me give you some friendly advice. If you ever leave Connect and because you move or whatever reason, or if you're here visiting for the first time, we appreciate you coming visiting. But I want to give you a little tip here. When you go to a church, you should go for a month, 4 times. Just go for 4 times in a row and get to know them and learn them and figure out how to get involved. Because the role of the church is not to serve you and your needs. Is that a part of the expectation of the church? Yes. To help you out, to help each other out, to serve one another, yes. But is it all about you? Absolutely not. Find out how they serve, how we serve, how to get involved, what that looks like. And we'll actually talk about that here in a little bit, how you get involved here. But if you only go to church to find what best fits you, you will always be disappointed. You will always hop from church to church. It may take 6 months to a year, but you will eventually leave that church the first time you get upset. And one of the things that I have to tell you that really frustrates me, because I think about this passage a lot, and there's other aspects and other passages that we could work through in talking about this, is when people go, man, I don't want to come because there's not enough kids in the kids ministry or students in the student ministry or this or that. And I always want to go, well, if you came more than once every 2 months, we'd have more kids in the kids ministry. And that's just being the reality. Like, oh, I wish this ministry was stronger. Well, if you came more than once every 3 months, it'd be stronger. If you came in reading the Word of God at home and praying, it would be better. Because the church is a living organism, right? We talk about it's the body of Christ. I promise you I'm going to drink this in a second. Right? We're moving and we're changing and we're growing. And if one part of the body is not growing, then the rest of it's not growing. I know The Simpsons is a great show. I recognize that. But they did something funny one time, and one of the main characters is Homer Simpson. He's the dad, and I can't remember how this came up, but for some reason, he got one dumbbell, just one, and he just, everywhere he went, he's just curling dumbbell, and just every day for day, and they show him months and months, and his right arm looked like The Rock's right arm, which was just massive and scary, and yes, I do love The Rock. I apologize, okay? But it's just, he has one huge arm. And then this left arm just looked like mine. Nothing. There's just nothing. And then you try to lift something, and it's like this. Now, we go, well, yeah, that's dumb, but yet we treat the body of Christ like that. We expect these people to do all the work, to grow and to be faithful so that the rest of us can just show up and go, I was here. I prayed. Well, I bowed my head and closed my eyes while they prayed and didn't acknowledge anything. And I'm good. Well, that don't make sense. How are you supposed to grow if you just sit there? And I always think about this. It's like when people take pre-workout and drink protein shakes, and then they do nothing with it. Which doesn't make sense to me, because if you're ever taking pre-workout, you get all jittery and itchy, and it is not fun. But people do that all the time, and they don't do anything with it. You can drink all the protein shakes and eat all the grilled chicken and broccoli you want, but if you don't actually get your body moving, you ain't going to change. And if you always just show up here on Sunday, it don't make a difference. It really doesn't. But you spending time in the Word and getting involved, praying with one another, being a part of growth, sharing your faith, and getting involved outside of these four walls on the hour or two we show up on Sundays. Because again, I want you to realize this. If you go look back at the life of Jesus, he served constantly. He is with people all the time. He did walk away and take breaks and rest, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But his whole ministry was not on a stage saying, look at the books I wrote and go watch my videos on YouTube. Now, obviously, because he didn't have YouTube back then, but I don't know. He's Jesus. He could have done that, I guess. But it was, hey, I'm going to go help the prostitute, the blind, the leper. I'm going to help the people who need to be helped. And I'm going to bring people with me. I'm going to bring people with me. He would never lived in the siloed. He always brought the ministry with him. And it was just a normal part of his life. People love talking about balance. There's not a balance. Your life as a believer, as a Christian, is ministry. 24/7, wherever you go, your life is ministry. There is no balance. And if we begin to preach this balance theology, that is not the gospel. Either you are a follower of Christ or you are not. Which should encourage us to always be on our mindset to serve the Lord in any aspect, in any change. And the second is, we have greater fulfillment in contribution than we do consumption. Studying psychology, we talk about this a lot because we actually have a lot of psych majors in our college ministry. So we talk about this a lot, and just reading some things and getting ready for this. In psychology, they talk about, you know, what is the ultimate fulfillment? When do people feel are the most fulfilled? And it's never that point when they get to the top where they're rich and have lots of money and have been the most successful person. It's when they are able to share it and teach somebody else how to do those things. When they can share the knowledge and invest in somebody else's life. At first, I was like, nah, that's probably not true. But if you start watching different videos and start reading some books, most people at the top of their field have a desire to share that with somebody else. To grow those people. But for most of us, we just want to be, hey, I got Jesus. Kind of what Pastor Neem last week said, like, we want the forgiveness, but we don't want to share it. And we, as a church, I'm not saying Connect Church, but just as a church at large, have a really good tendency of going, take Jesus and then hold him in and never tell anybody else. Which is really interesting to me, because if you turn to Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to read verses 14 and 16. Jesus has the complete opposite view. Right before the verses we're about to read, which are going to be 14 and 16, Jesus talking, telling them that we are the salt of the earth. We as believers are there to make things better, not worse. And then he says in 14 through 16, says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor people light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a stand, it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. People should see a difference. When God does a work in our life and he has come to serve, we should be able to serve with joy and gladness to other people and be able to share those good things with other people, not go, man, the Lord has saved me, he has changed me, and I'm going to go back over here where I can't be influenced by anybody else. But because the Lord has served me and changed me, I go and serve others because I can't help it. There should be an excitement to share what the Lord has done in our life. And we were talking about this morning, just like the difficulty of, you know, we go, oh, you should be humble and don't brag or anything like that. But it's hard to not brag when God does a really cool thing in your life. It's hard for me not to tell you, man, like, God has been moving. We have been praying for this and that, and we have fasted over this, and the Lord heard our prayers and answered them very clearly. Sometimes it's exactly what I want, and sometimes it is the exact opposite of what I want. Sometimes it is real comfortable, and sometimes the Lord's like, hey, this is not going to be fun for you at first, but you need to go do this. And to be honest with you, for me in my life, most of the time, it's serving other people. And when I say other people, I don't mean my friends. I don't mean my family. I mean, because to be really honest with you, well, maybe not family, but it's most of the time really easy to serve your friends because you like them, right? You like them. You spend time with them. It's real easy to serve those people. But that person on the corner of the street that's asking for help, that you go, I don't know if they're telling the truth or not. The Lord never says, go help that person when they're honest. Go help that person because they're on a good path. It just says, you need to go help that person. We don't get to do the checks and balances and choose who we serve because the Lord just said, serve. And he himself served the lowliest of people. He uses the lowliest of people. We are just to be faithful servants. And again, going back to the working out analogy, right? A lot of people just love to consume. Even if it's good things, right? Grilled chicken and rice and protein shakes, like all that stuff is great. But if you never do anything, you're just going to put on the weight that you were that you said you were going to lose, right? I know it's January, what's today, 30th? So the New Year's resolutions are trying to kind of go that way. Which mine was to work out more. It's going that way, right? If you do all the right things, but you never move, you're not going to be healthier. And the same thing here. We love, especially in the South, we love to consume knowledge, get seminary degrees, do this and do that. But man, if you say, can you go talk to that person about Jesus? Or that person's really having a hard time. Can you go help them out? We go, nah. They can do it. Those young guys can do it. Now those older people can do it. We always find excuses rather than actually involve ourselves in the serving. So how to serve? How do we serve? What does serving even look like? Psalm 100, this is the first passage of scripture I ever got to memorize, and this part has always just stuck in my head. It's the beginning. Serve the Lord with gladness. They come into his presence with thanksgiving. So how to serve? With gladness. The Lord came to serve us joyfully, and so we should also serve the Lord joyfully. It doesn't say when or how or what it may look like, but whatever that is, whatever aspect of serving the Lord has called you to do, do it with gladness. Even when it's hard. I will tell you, being on staff and serving y'all in the last couple months, right, Pastor Liam, has been hard. There's been a lot of changes going on. There's been a lot of questions. And I'm so thankful for your faithfulness and being with us and praying with us. But I will tell you, it has been hard. And I was studying Timothy the other day, and it talks about elders. And it says, do not do it under compulsion, but let it be a godly desire and let it be joyful. And I had to remind myself that the Lord has given this desire to serve the body joyfully. Not out of mandatory. Not out of need. Because again, the Lord doesn't need me. He invited me to be a part of something bigger than myself. He has invited you to be a part of something bigger than yourselves. And what a joy it is to say, I get to serve because the Lord called me to serve. Romans 12, and of course, Melinda's going to make fun of me because I brought in Romans 12, but whatever. It says to outdo one another with honor. Outdo one another in serving. Not in the competitive way, like, you know, like sometimes Tim and I give a hard time, like, I could do this better. Not in that way, or don't pull a Friends episode. There's an episode of Friends where Joey and Phoebe, they basically, like, do a nice thing without, you know, making it about yourself. And the whole episode is about how every time they do a nice thing, it's somewhat selfish. I'm not trying to trick you into that. But it's the you should want to honor your neighbor, your friend, your fellow believer, your non-believing friends. Outdo another in honor, respect, love, and in service. And also, I just want to reiterate, with coming service also comes rest. Because many of us, and I would say this is something that I really struggle with and still struggle with, is if I just keep doing and doing and doing and doing, it'll be a good thing. And if you ever go read the Gospels all the way through, one time Jesus is with Mary and Martha. And I'm not going to say which sister is which because I always get them confused for some reason. But one sister is just sitting there and listening to Jesus talk. And the other sister is just so mad. She's upset. She's like, man, why aren't you helping me serve? Why are you doing this? Why are you sitting there and not doing blah, blah, blah? In fact, she gets so upset, she goes to Jesus and be like, make her serve. And Jesus is like, or you could just sit down and spend time with me. Because you will be serving. There's plenty of you to things for you to do, but you need to sit and rest. And so don't just serve so you can check this off the list. Because again, it will become miserable very quickly. That's why we talk about burnout so much in our culture, especially in church culture, because we just go, 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 think that we're doing good for the Lord, but we just do it as a, we just forget what we're doing it for. So we as a church, we talk about service, we should always remind each other that we serve because the Lord has come and served us first. And we need to find joy in that. And sometimes we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded of that. That I'm not serving you because it's my job description. I'm not serving you because I come to this place. I'm serving you because the Lord has served me. And I should serve others. And second, that my fulfillment is not in taking in more things and receiving these gifts and joys. I do get joy out of them. I love getting help from you. So don't stop. Keep it coming. But if I'm not also contributing, I don't really understand what joy is. I don't really understand those gifts because they're always meant to pass on. The Oglesbys, who, not Seth and Stacy Oglesby, Seth's dad, Scott and Kathy, they had come to Connect for a very long time, and they recently moved down to Iredell, Texas. And they have been such an influential influence in my life over the last couple years since I got to Connect. It's been one of the things that I've always just taken away from them. And I've really learned from them is the fact that they never seek any recognition. They don't really care for people to know what they do. But man, they just want to serve people around them. And if you've been here long enough when they were around, right, you can ask most of the young adults and college students and people who've been here for a while. They just have a heart to serve and don't care what happens after that. They don't care to be recognized or you return it back to them. They just want to serve because the Lord has served them so well. And they just want to pay it forward. And it's really taught me to serve the same way. And I hope it's taught other people to do the same thing. Because that's part of what the service does. Because we are contributing to the goals of God. Which, again, is always to pay it forward, to continue to teach and to grow. That's part of what discipleship is. So you may be sitting there going, so how do I serve? How do I get involved? What are some needs that need to happen around? One of the best ways to get involved, first Wednesday nights of the month, having times of prayer as a church, come. This is not like one of those like shameless plug commercials. This is a legitimate, I want you to come because it serves the body well when we pray together. There is a change. It gets us in one mind. It actually gets us to care for one another, which surprisingly is a little bit difficult at times. We're even going to eat together this week, which is one of the biggest blessings. Some other ways to serve is go talk to Stacy. talk to Abby. You can talk to me. You can talk to Aaron. You can talk to Carl. There's lots of needs with the different sound and media team, worship team. I have stuff for college and young adults where ways you can serve like that. There's plenty of places to serve in kids' ministries. I really don't know what it is. Here's my thing. If you don't know what it is, let's try a couple different things. Because guess what? If you always go, man, I don't know where to serve, and just kind of sit there and wait for tell you what to do, you're never going to get in. Because no one knows you like you know you. But if you come and try, right? We'll have college students, young adults come and try sometimes, try to teach. And sometimes we go, all right, you're a great teacher. Sometimes we go, go move some tables. You're doing great moving tables over there. Okay, not everyone has the same gifts. And I know that's cheesy, but sometimes it's true. And we can use those different gifts. Sometimes we do need people just to come help serve food. And you may go, wow, that's kind of boring. But for most people, they have no one that ever sits down and eats with them or serves them in that way. And that makes such a difference. That small little 15, 20 minutes makes a huge difference in that person's life. Sometimes we need people in the nursery just to hold the babies. And you go, that doesn't sound like fun. Because if you're like me, babies are scary because their heads do this number the whole time and it freaks me out. But for a parent, what way to serve that parent who has only slept maybe 3 hours in the last 2 days? And there's tons and tons of different ways. I know that some of those are cheesy and funny. But getting involved in a life group, being a life group host home, being a life group leader. And you go, man, I don't know if that's the way to do it, but we can train you. We will work with you. But my challenge to you today, and the challenges that you receive if you read the book, which I hope you are, and if you need a book, there's a bunch out there still, is that you take these steps. Because when the body is moving, change becomes the habit. And I'm not going to say, oh, the change is going to be 1,000 people in here and all our financials are going to go away. If they do, that's super cool. But if the body is actually growing because we're serving, then that's a win. If you're becoming more like Jesus because we're serving, that's a win. And I don't care about finances or whatever. That'll take care of itself. But when you serve well, the church grows and we become more like Jesus. That's a win. So as we get ready to close and the band comes up, sorry, Carl, I didn't communicate that well. Pray about where you are called to serve, where to find a place to serve. And retirement is a great thing. You don't retire from Christianity. You don't retire from being a Christian. You don't retire from being a believer. Yeah, we may have to change. You may change how you serve, right? My dad yesterday was telling me a story. Just like he goes, man, I used to go on mission trips and student stuff, and I get super involved. He's a 6-year-old fireman. He just can't do it anymore. He can't go run around for 3 hours and have enough energy to go to work anymore because his life stage has just changed. Where now he spends more time teaching and investing in people. So don't say, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. The Lord has given you a gift, and you have been called to serve. God, as we come before you, Father, we just ask for your wisdom and your guidance in our lives for places to serve you more, both inside the body and outside the body. God, that life change would just continue to happen in this place. Father, that when we come to serve you, that we serve you in gladness, Father, knowing that there's something bigger at work than what we could ever imagine. God, we pray that your truth be made known among the people here, God, but also the people around us when we're outside of here. God, that we wouldn't hide the joy and the change that you've brought, God, that we would express it so that others can see you and hear of you and glorify your name. God, we thank you for your promises. God, that you are faithful over and over again, even when we're not. God, so may we serve well as you have served us, Father. And we ask this in the name of Jesus.